Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Building World Ready application series. I'm Aldo Donetti, lead PM in the globalization team, part of developer division at Microsoft. In the first episode of this series, you've already heard about the benefits of developing international software and some of its challenges. This episode will dive a bit deeper into some of these aspects related to globalization while still trying to keep it simple. The good news is that, particularly if you're a .NET developer, we have tried to make this transparent for you, but you would want to follow some simple coding practices to avoid a number of issues, and I'll tell you what some of those are. In this and in the next video, we'll focus on two main areas that are related to the globalization of an application. Remember, one that is not necessarily localized into other languages and still respects the user preferred regional settings, allows them to use their own natural language as data and metadata and so on. These two areas are data presentation and language enablement. Data presentation is about how do we ensure that data is presented in a way that makes sense for a person living in a particular culture, country, or region. And by language enablement, we mean being able to support several, in theory, all human languages in your application. This episode will talk about data presentation. What year is it? What time is it? What do you call money? How are numbers represented in your culture? It all depends on where you are and that region or country's cultural specific conventions. It might be either year 2008, 1429, or Heisei 20. They're all equivalent. Underlying data doesn't necessarily change. A float is a float anyway. But the way the end users enter it and want it displayed does. These rules are defined in the Windows NLS files. NLS stands for National and Language Services. And new ones are added with each OS release and sometimes with service packs. In Windows, this information is handled by an entity called locale. Locales are uniquely identified by an ID called LCID. Locales are used to identify both the language and the culture regional settings. And there are four types of locale in Windows. The user locale that is used to identify user preferences for locale-sensitive functions. A thread locale that allows locale controls per thread. It defaults to the user locale. A system locale, which is called locale, but it's not really one. It indicates the system code page that is used for non-Unicode applications. And an input locale, which indicates the specified input language and the input method. You can find and change all of these settings, as you have seen in the pictures that were shown here, and more in the regional language options inside the control panel. In case you have installed two or more language packs, you will also be able to select the language of the user interface, which is not a locale, but you can set it from there. And additional locales can be installed and defined. In the .NET framework, the equivalent of the locale is called culture. And the whole set of information is handled by several classes, but the culture info class is the primary one. Some other related ones are the calendar class, the text info class, the region info class, the number format info, and the date time format info classes, and the time zone info class. The names are quite self-explanatory, and we'll dive into more details about these in a future episode. Unlike a locale, a culture name is based on a language code based on ISO 639, then a dash, and a country region code based on ISO 3166. From Windows Vista onwards, the RFC 4646 standard is used for culture names. Some culture names also specify a script. For example, dash CYRL specifies the Cyrillic script, and dash Latin LATN specifies the Latin script. One of the main differences between the two representations is that the old culture names would represent the, for instance, the Uzbek Cyrillic language as spoken in Uzbekistan as UZ, UZ, CRYL, while the RFC 4646 represented as UZ-CYRL-UZ. In the .NET framework, there are three types of cultures: invariant, neutral, and specific. They are usually organized as in a tree, with the invariant culture as the root, then neutral, then specific cultures as leaves. The invariant culture is not associated to any language nor culture or region, and is meant to be used for formatting data in a local culture-sensitive way. The neutral cultures are meant to represent a language but not a region, for instance, German or English, but with no reference to a specific country or location or setting. The specific culture carries both language and country regional info and matches the Windows locale. Please mind that some specific cultures have the invariant as their parent, as in the sample below here. This characteristic is seen particularly in those cultures that are only defined in Windows, so they were not part of the .NET framework definition, but are picked up directly from Windows tables. And of course, users can define their own custom cultures. And you can do that programmatically as well. So how does your application know what local culture it's working with? You can get and set your current culture property of the thread.currentThread property of the thread class. If you don't set it, it will default to the user locale. Please make sure you do use this one for formatting user data. And for the language of your application's user interface, so for localization purposes, you should get set the current UI culture property of the thread.currentThread property. Please make sure you only use this for UI resource loading. And how can we detect what's the system locale from the .NET framework? Either we wrap the Win32 Get System Default Language ID API, or we can check the code page property of the system.text.encoding class. And about the input locale, there's an input language class that can help you deal with several input methods. It basically identifies a language keyboard pair and allows your code to get set what's the default input language for the system and for the current thread, or even retrieve the list of installed cultures. There are a couple of properties named current input language and default input language in the input language class. So here's a short list of typical coding mistakes. What we should try not to do is to write code that makes assumptions on what the format of a culture name is, like assuming that the culture name is two characters, a dash, and another two characters. Also, do not assume that a given culture name exists at all. In general, it would exist maybe, but especially if you were trying to create a culture object from a culture name that's being passed on by a browser, you may discover that some culture names defined in web browsers may not match the names that are defined either in Windows or in the .NET framework, hence resulting in an exception being thrown. Another thing you should consider is that while we try to keep the list of cultures both in Windows and in the .NET framework as complete and as up-to-date as possible, they're not to be considered as the official list of ISO cultures, which is managed and updated by the ISO organization. So if you have an application that needs to list, for instance, all of the currencies worldwide, I would discourage you from getting that list by querying the list of Windows.NET cultures. If there was one thing you should remember from this talk, is this: only use current UI culture for resource loading and for nothing else. Instead, you should normally use current culture for data formatting, although there could be some cases where that's not advisable. That is mostly depending on the data you're handling. But for instance, for cases where you have to store data that need to be persisted and preserved across cultures, you may want to use the invariant culture. Or for instance, for log files that need to be automatically parsed by some other application. Also, in case of a client-server scenario, if your data comes from different time zones and it's stored in a central location, it's usually a good practice to parse it in the client locale, convert it to UTC for server storage, and then convert it back to client, to the client, both locale and time zone for display. Another common sense tip, in case you're dealing with multiple currencies, is to separate the numerical value from the currency in the logic of your application. You don't want a formatting issue to be the cause of an implicit conversion from, for instance, euros to US dollars, or the other way around. As a general trend, we're trying to promote the usage of specific cultures rather than using neutral ones, again, with the exception of resource loading. So more and more methods and properties will accept specific culture better than a neutral one. And as a feature trend, we're also trying to rely on the OS locales when we retrieve the culture information, rather than carrying our own set of data inside the framework. While it seems wise to recommend you do the same with your apps, you may have specific design reasons not to do so, for instance, to avoid backward compatibility issues. I just want to highlight an exception to this rule. As you have understood, the culture formatting affects all of the input-output operations, and most methods use that as the default for formatting user data. There is one exception, however. The daytime picker and the month calendar controls are wrappers around the equivalent controls provided by the OS, so they respect the OS user locale and not the .NET current culture property, in case they're different. Usually they would be the same, but not always. A couple of quick notes about casing and sorting to complete the data presentation topic. You may know that the same characters may sort differently in different cultures. For instance, the letter A with the diéresis on top sorts after the letter A in German and after the letter Z in Swedish. You may also know that a number of languages do not even have a case, so converting to upper or to lowercase is meaningless in those languages. One specific issue that is as much tricky as it is popular is the famous or infamous Turkish I issue. In the English alphabet, as in others, there is one letter I, and it's lowercase, it's dotted, while its capitalized version does not have a dot. In the Turkish language, there are two distinct I letters, a dotted one and an undotted one. The uppercase version of the dotted I is a dotted capital I, while the lowercase of the undotted one is a lowercase undotted I, as you can see here. As you may have understood, the issue is with the case conversion of the letter I, which may give you a different result depending on the culture context you are in when you're doing the conversion. And this can not only lead to wrong sorting, but also to data loss and security issues. And here we have a sample of converting file lowercase to uppercase using the Turkish culture will result in a URI that is invalid. So you may have understood by now that how you sort strongly depends on what you sort. And user data usually needs to be sorted in the culture of the users, but some metadata or URIs, URLs could be sorted in an invariant way. Whenever possible, I would recommend not changing the case of characters and strings, and instead doing a case insensitive comparisons. String operations are normally culturally sensitive by default in .NET, so again, in the normal case, you should not worry about it too much. Most likely, you will have to take into account when you have operations that do not have to be culturally sensitive, like you would have to use ordinal comparisons when dealing with file names, for instance. So you maybe would use current culture sorting for sorting them in a list, but to check whether an item is already in the list or not, you may want to use a binary comparison, so an ordinal comparison, or ordinal ignore case, depending on what you need. And again, generally compare and sort according to user settings, but beware of client-server issues. For instance, you may have design decisions depending on the content, on the data, what do you use, client sorting or server sorting? They might be different. Usually prefer client sorting. Data validation can be different between client and server and can cause validation error for the same input. So please beware of those issues. Thank you for your interest in this topic. I hope I gave you a little bit more understanding of the issues that your app could encounter when running in different cultures and how to prevent some of those. Stay tuned for future videos regarding building world-ready applications, and goodbye.